You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Ellie Webb is the founder of Caleño, a non-alcoholic spirit inspired by the flavors and colors of Colombia. After years working in marketing in the drinks industry, Ellie saw the opportunity to create a premium non-alcoholic product at a time when many in the hospitality industry were also looking for other options to serve their customers. Last year, the non-alcoholic spirits category in the UK was worth more than £5 million. Since launching in January of 2019, just 1 year ago, the Bristol-based Caleño has sold almost 30,000 bottles of their first product, a juniper and Inca berry alcohol-free spirit. Here's Ellie now with the story of Caleño.
I was working in the drinks industry for a distributor called Matthew Clark. So they're national distributor. They're basically the middleman between bars, pubs and restaurants and the big drinks manufacturers of this world, you know, Diageo's, Bacardi's, Pernod Ricard's. So they make sure that pubs and bars get drinks into their bars and behind their back bars every week, day in, day out. So I was doing marketing for them, and obviously most of what they sold was alcoholic products, and that can sometimes mean that a lot of the events you go to are quite boozy and you're surrounded and you're in that world a lot. So beginning of 2017, I decided to do a little thing called Dry January for the first time and take some time away and just have a bit of a detox after what was quite a kind of crazy, busy Christmas. And I'm quite a social person, so I live in Bristol and we've got some really nice bars and pubs and the music scene. So I still like going out with my friends and having a good time and still feeling like I can go out. So even though I wasn't drinking, I still wanted to engage in all that kind of social stuff. And it was a couple of times, but I remember one time in particular, I went out to see a live band with my friends. It was a Friday night. I'd offered to drive because I wasn't drinking alcohol. And I remember going to the bar and ordering, I think it was a Diet Coke. Then I had another one. And then I think after two, I was like, I don't really want to drink this anymore. I didn't feel like there were many options, so I just ended up drinking water. And everyone else was drinking gin and tonics, craft beer. There were just, felt like there were loads of options for you if you were drinking, but really getting stuck with what to have if you weren't. And I guess being in this whole industry and knowing how much choice there was out there for alcoholic brands, I kind of kept coming back to this and throughout the month and actually the next month. And I was like, why is it that there aren't more options for you if you decide not to drink? Because it seems like, you know, Dry January is one of the times where people take time off, but there are loads of reasons why people choose not to drink or can't drink. Like if you're pregnant, if, you know, for health reasons or lifestyle choice, you're trying to kind of run a marathon and you want to reduce the amount of calories you're taking in. So I got really interested in this whole category and started researching it and seeing what else was out there. And not just, I wasn't thinking about like a soft drink, I'm thinking about something premium, something that I could mix with my tonics that felt grown up, felt bitter, not overly sugary, had lots of flavor to it. So I kind of got a little bit obsessed with it, and it was like my side project for a while. A couple of months later, I flew over to Colombia, South America, which is a place I spent a lot of time as a kid. So my mum's side of the family all from there, and it's a lovely place. I've met a lot of people now that have actually been there. It's a really vibrant, fun country. The people there have lots of energy. They love to go out dancing. And I had a brilliant time. I went all over Colombia. I went to like Bogota, the city, the capital. Cali, which is known as the capital of salsa, everyone goes there to dance, which is actually where a lot of my family come from. And then I also went up to the coffee region and then the coast. Lots of tropical fruits. It's, you know, Colombia itself is actually the second most biodiverse country in the world. So I got a lot of inspiration there for the flavours, and actually coming back and thinking about what I wanted this drink to taste like, I actually ended up incorporating a lot of those tropical fruits like Inca berry, pineapple, papayas, as well as other citrus and kind of fruity and spice botanicals. So actually we have in Caleño now, which ended up becoming this kind of tropical non-alcoholic spirit that I could mix with tonic or soda or, you know, use in a cocktail. It kind of, I think a lot of the inspiration from Colombia and South America was actually two parts ingredients wise, but also this whole category felt like it needed an injection of fun. Like actually going out and not drinking wasn't a fun experience. It wasn't enjoyable. You felt like there was no choice. There was no option for you. And I spoke to like my friends a lot about this, and I went out and I spoke to bars and said, look, you know, are you finding this problem? Are you getting people asking you for drinks? And they said, you know what, actually we'd love something like this. We did a party at Lost in Brixton in London, and we had a live band, we had salsa dancers, and actually everyone was up dancing, having a good time, and there was not a drop of alcohol in sight. So I think actually sometimes it's just about creating an atmosphere and environment which is fun and exciting, and you know, conversations are engaging. Sometimes people actually have to do it first to kind of realise that it's actually fine and you don't need alcohol. So I think, you know, it's an aspirational thing too. A few years ago when I started, through my research obviously, I found there were some of the bigger brewers bringing out their own non-alcoholic beer versions. You had Seedlip on the kind of non-alcoholic spirit side. They were still quite small and still very niche, and I think a lot of people thought, you know, this is just a fad. Non-alcoholic wine still didn't have a great reputation. People didn't feel the taste profile was there. So it was kind of really, really still very small, but it felt like it had promise, and it felt like the consumer pull and demand was there, but the industry just hadn't caught up yet with that, particularly from, you know, bars and pubs offering better options, and retailers and supermarkets and being able to get these kinds of options online. So yeah, it was really not very crowded. It was only really, I think, by next summer, so you're talking kind of mid-2018, that we started to see more products coming out onto the market that delivered. And actually, I was sort of, at the time, still working on the product, and I didn't really want to release it until I felt that the flavour profile and the quality of the liquid was as, you know, I wanted to be super happy with it, and not just kind of rush and get to market. I wanted to spend the time and get it right. So at the moment we've got Calinu, our juniper and inkerberry, non-alcoholic spirit, which we sell, but we have got an innovation pipeline. So we're looking at bringing out other products, different formats as well. So suited to different occasions and different, you know, platforms too. So we're quite keen to continue learning, experiment, and this is a new category. So I think it's all about testing ideas out and on a small scale. And then if it works, you know, we are looking at other countries in Europe that are kind of similar to the UK that we can make some traction into. So that will be happening this year. I think, you know, one step at a time. I would love for Calinu to be in Colombia. I think there are a lot of our markets around at the moment that are quite similar to the UK in terms of their drinking habits, and they're probably a few years behind where the UK is at the moment. So I think it's, you know, being smart about where we launch next and where we take the product to. But definitely there's international plans. To create Calinu, we use 12 botanicals in total, and we go through a process of steam distillation. So we're macerating some of the botanicals beforehand, sometimes separately, and then we're steam distilling the botanicals over a period of 2 days. You have to be quite careful with heat and extraction techniques because you don't want to damage the botanicals. And when you think about alcoholic products, alcohol carries a lot of the flavour, so you still want that flavour coming through. And for me, it was about, you know, a good drink is about getting the right balance of flavours. And from my previous job and the industry I worked in, I knew about distillation process and how spirits were made. So I kind of knew what flavours went together, but also I wanted to inject a bit of, you know, my own stamp on it. And so pineapple and papaya and inkerberry. And inkerberry actually became our hero ingredient because it's now our garnish, our signature garnish for the Calinu and tonic drink, which is cool. So yeah, you have to be really careful around distillation process and make sure you're not damaging any of the flavours. And then we actually leave that kind of botanical liquid to mature for 2 weeks before we bottle, just to make sure that the flavours really bed in and that actually it shines through when you do put it in with a mixer and it doesn't get lost. And we recommend, in terms of the serve, same measures as, say, a spirit in a mixer or a gin and tonic. It's just one part Calinu, three parts tonic, over ice with a really nice garnish like an inkerberry. And that's simple as you can go. But actually, we're finding now bartenders are really keen on experimenting and putting Calinu into cocktails, which is great because it's really creative. I love to see that. brand, I think my main thing was, how do we make it fun for people? How do we make this option feel like it's super exciting for someone that's not drinking, whether it's that day, that week, that month? And actually, how do we make it stand out? So for me, you know, the key things were, actually I worked with a really great design agency called Design Bridge, who really got the concept and really got my ideas and took them and you know, I said to them, I want it to be vibrant, colourful, have loads of energy, make people feel like this is something really special that they can enjoy and not feel like it's a compromise or a, you know, just a second choice. It's generally been pretty positive. I think whenever there's a negative response, it's probably more of a lack of understanding of how these products are made and actually the time and the quality of ingredients that goes into it. So actually, we and other brands probably have quite a big job to do in terms of educating people in this category, particularly in the trade, as well as awareness. You know, I still meet consumers that just don't even know about this category. So it's definitely not a mainstream thing yet. A lot more people do know about it than, say, 3 years ago. But there's still a lot of people that don't know that alcohol-free spirits exist. In terms of, you know, the availability and accessibility of the category, I think we're making really, really good steps and inroads, but there's still a long way to go. You know, my dream is to be able to walk into any supermarket, any bar, and kind of pretty much guarantee that I can get a decent non-alcoholic drink, whether that's a non-alcoholic beer, a non-alcoholic spirit, a non-alcoholic wine. And they've got, you know, good presence on the menu, people behind the bar are able to talk about it. And actually it's got, you know, a good proportion of share as well as alcoholic products, because essentially it's all about choice. And a lot of people that still want to go out and socialise and want to enjoy these drinks feel like they are kind of guaranteed that they're going to be able to get that. I think it's generally about having, you know, good mix, channel mix, and obviously we're online, we are in retail in Sainsbury's as well, and now we're starting to make some really good progress with bars and pubs in the UK. So I think it's that kind of 360, people see you online and, you know, that's good for that occasion if they've got people over and they want to have Calenu and tonics at home. But say if they're going out to a bar on a Thursday and they're like, okay, well, I want to drink you too then. So I think it's making sure that the availability across all channels is good. So really that's going to be a focus for us, and continuing to strengthen our online presence, but also making sure that we start to appear in other places too. It's been a massive learning curve, but I've loved it. I think it's been hard at times, because when you start things, there's a lot of questions that you've basically haven't got the answers to, and you don't always know who to turn to. And as a sole founder, in the beginning, it was just me. And we launched in January, and then my sister joined in April, and we slowly started to build a little bit of a team, navigating, you know, new platforms like retailers like Sainsbury's and platforms like Amazon, understanding how they work and bringing the right people in to really make sure we've got good presence in those places. So, yeah, I think it's been a bit of a roller coaster, and you have downs and downtimes where, you know, things go wrong with production and you have to sort them out. And then you have highs where you're like December, we had our best month ever online on Amazon. And it's like, you know, these kind of big wins really make a difference and brings a lot of kind of the team morale up, I suppose. It is a roller coaster though. What everyone says about kind of the startup world is right.
Ellie Webb, founder of Calenu. My thanks to Ellie for coming in to share her story, and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.